wait. You just pointed out the pants are wrinkly.
That's Nolan's standard of fashion, is somebody's got wrinkly pants.
They're baggy, and you could tell from the NES.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 175.
175!
Hey, there he is. Welcome back, Kenny. You were missed.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Episodes without you are death-isodes.
You can say that again, except don't.
It's a good word.
Well, we love you. We missed you.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
A lot of gaming news has occurred this week with Cuphead coming to the Switch and the Google Cloud gaming platforms that promises to be the Netflix of gaming.
Yeah, that's all.
And the Cadence of Hyrule announcements. I'd encourage you at least to go up look up info about all of those, or at least one of those.
You're going to have to fill me in because I'm only in the loop on the first two.
We'll not be able to do that because we've got more important news.
More important news than those three?
Oh, yeah. More important news than all of that. We have released our first ever annual retro gaming tournament.
Yeah. March Madness.
Do I need to update you on that, Kenny?
Do you want an update on that?
Like an update, and do you need to know what it is?
No, he's like pretending.
Cast my vote. I'm all up on our retro gaming tournament.
All right, so the first ever 2019 retro gaming tournament hosted by yours truly, New Game Plus. We have started something that's probably going to be this annual treat. We put together brackets like March Madness brackets, but with retro video games. And so we gathered 64 of the best of the best, and we placed them in seeds, and then we put them on brackets in four different divisions. And now they're facing off. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of votes come in already. People are very competitive and opinionated when it comes to the best retro games. They are very opinionated when it comes to thinking that we seeded something improperly or that we left off a game entirely. And they've been sure to cuss us out and let us know those things.
Yeah, they're very passionate about that.
I'm sure all those things are true.
If you are listening to this podcast, you probably already submitted your vote for round one. Here's the unfortunate thing. So this comes out Monday. On Monday, that's kind of our bye day. It's a sports terminology, but I don't think it fits here. But it's a day where voting is not taking place. So voting for round one ends on Sunday. Monday is kind of a day in between. And then Tuesday starts round two of voting. So if you're listening to this and you're unable to vote in round one, I'm sorry, but round two is right here. So vote for round two. Guys, this is my question for you. You've been able to look through the list. Some of those lineups are pretty easy, right? You're just going to go through. Sure. There's not going to be any major upsets. But there are a few lineups that are probably going to, in my opinion, going to be close or going to cause some people some consternation. So I want to ask you first, Kenny. Final Fantasy VII and Civ 2 are facing off.
I've probably spent as much time debating that choice as I did answering all the other questions combined. Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought you'd have the answer right away.
No. He loves both. Yeah,
I know. But
I've forgotten which one. I think I decided Final Fantasy VII is for sure the better game, and so I was supposed to vote for it. And then on principle, I think I selected Civ 2. Just to be
you're gross.
More person. Accurate to the podcast, but I don't actually recall which way I even landed because I was that torn.
Nolan, which one do you land on?
Oh, for that one?
Yeah. What, Final it's not Fantasy a competition? VII. Okay, now a real one that actually has competition.
Okay.
Super Mario 64 and Pokemon Red Blue.
That's easy in my mind, honestly.
It's easy really? In my mind, too.
Okay, I would love to hear both of you and see if they're on the same
plane.
I feel like a lot of people, though, will have some trouble with it. For me, it's an easy Super Mario 64.
No, Pokemon Red Blue.
Oh,
wow. And you both said it's easy.
That game.
I think I did. I played it more than I played Super Mario 64.
Okay.
And I tried to play Super Mario 64, but I wasn't that impressed.
Okay. Kenny, I am super interested on this one. Final Fantasy X or Dragon Warrior?
I'm pretty sure I went Dragon Warrior.
I knew you would, and I'm
fine
with
just
that.
Nostalgia. Like,
yeah. Now, this one is I'm nervous about. Star Wars Knight of the Old Republic, which someone seated at 2, and then Street Fighters 2, which someone seated at 15.
I'm trying to remember. I think I went Knights of the Old Republic.
I'm going Street Fighter 2 on that one.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. Those are great games. They both did so much for their genres.
For totally different reasons. Like, so many of these are apples to pineapples, and it's really hard.
Which you can compare the two.
You can. They're both fruit, and they're tasty, and they have a similar name, and they're both video games, so...
So there are those kind of lineups, as well as other ones like Half-Life 2 versus Oregon Trail on our tournament page.
Half-Life
2's in trouble.
To stop by, and again, you'll probably be listening to this at a time where you can vote for round two, but make sure that you do that. You can go to ngppodcast.com/tournament to vote on what game you think deserves the number one spot, a big, bad, bold boss. Like in our retro game of the week, Karnov.
Overview.
Karnov is a arcade game that came out in 1987. It's a platform game that, like all platformers that came out in the late 80s, is a little bit interesting. The titular character, Karnov, depending on, so he's big and he's from the Soviet Union. You guys got to help me out on lore here because it was actually kind of confusing.
Lore?
Different sources that, anyways, you're a big strong man who escaped the circus and has really bad heartburn and fights dinosaurs, right?
Wow. You're a little out of practice, Kenny.
No, I pretty much nailed it.
You're two sentences in. And you're like, can you help me, guys?
Okay. Well, let me clarify before we go any farther. Platform game, 1987. Data East was the publisher and developer. And after it became an arcade title, it also dropped for NES, Commodore, a couple other systems at the time, including a PC title that they shipped as like a self-booting game, which was super interesting. Like it came with its own OS loaded, so you'd pop it in and it would like run your whole system as the game.
It's a virus.
What operating system do you use? Karnov 87.
Karnov 87.
It's a virus.
So there are different versions. The two main ones I would say is arcade and NES. NES is actually the one that this game got submitted as. However, we always try to play the earliest version as well as, I mean, the version that was submitted or to the Retro Master List. I played both games this week. Nolan, you, from my understanding, you pretty much only did NES.
Yeah, I stuck to NES. I had some trouble running the arcade version, but I did watch some.
And then Kenny?
Yeah, I jumped on the NES bandwagon. I just knew it was going to be a lot easier to jump in and play it. And so, after seeing that they were fairly similar games and doing some research on the differences, I decided to just play NES and, you know, kind of be familiar with the arcade outside of that.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair, completely fine. We'll talk about some of the differences between the two games, like the gameplay of those in the gameplay section. But you mentioned story and Nolan was like, what story? And honestly, that's one of the stark differences here that we can say in this kind of overview section is that in the arcade, you actually have a story set up. You have some kind of reason.
Bit.
You don't have any in the NES version.
The NES version starts on the start screen.
Right. Yeah. Nolan did a first play this week, and it takes you immediately to the start screen, and as soon as you start the game, it takes you immediately to the first stage.
Into the level. It lightnings you into the level.
Right. You have no idea what you're doing, why you're doing, and there's no exposition there. There's no story there. In the arcade, you do. You've got some stuff at the beginning and then in between the stages, so you know at least you're going from level to level. You're collecting these scrolls or these parchments, pieces of a map that you're putting back together. In fact, after you beat the bosses of, in the arcade version, a little map piece floats down and touches down, and you walk over and grab that. Like, that's a key thing that's not in the NES version, where you have no kind of story whatsoever. Well,
and there's payoff at the end. You get this whole treasure map completed. Like, you beat the game, you get all of the pieces, and Karnov finds the treasure. He gets to have this fun moment at the end where he's, like, bathing in riches because you've won.
Does he find a shirt?
No, it's super easy for him to bathe because he's already half naked.
Does he find a shirt?
You know what's interesting about these two versions? In Discord this week, I was kind of just looking in Game of the Week and hearing the thoughts from everyone. And some people are on Team Arcade for this game and some are on Team NES. And I don't know if it's ever been like that. It's usually very clear, like, hey, we like this version more, or the versions are identical. But in this case, it's like, some people like the qualities of the arcade one.
Split
and then
decision a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm on Team NES because I can't play the arcade.
Because I can't even play the other one. We do need to talk about him. Last week when it was randomly selected and I pulled up the page to just talk about the game briefly, I mentioned that he looks like Juggernaut without his helmet on. And again, that's a pretty close description.
It's very close.
He is shirtless. He is muscle ridden. I mean, just
grossly.
That's a good description because it's like too many. Like, he's uncomfortably muscular.
Yes, his abs are a whole other thing that are off of his body. His head is smaller than the rest. Everything, like, it's the smallest.
He literally has no neck,
and he's got the baggiest red, like, circus pants.
Ill fitting. Yeah, circus. He looks like he's from the circus.
I think he's an ex circus person,
at least in one of the lords that are out there.
Or this is the Juggernaut's prequel because it looks just like him without a helmet.
Also, and it doesn't necessarily register all the way through on the NES and the artwork for sure, he's got this mustache that is hard to describe. It's I mean, it's got a name for it.
It's a Fu Manchu.
Okay, is that what it is? It's the one where it's like pencil thin and then it comes down on either side but no other facial hair.
Yeah.
Anyways, you need to imagine that character punching dinosaurs in the face.
Yeah,
and
did we say he's bald?
We did say he's bald, yes.
Okay.
Did we say that he'd cast fire from his hands?
Or mouth
it's
or
not
butt?
From his hands, it's from his mouth.
How do we
That's
know
even
that?
Even worse.
See, NES is totally his hands.
Yeah, either way, this character Worst. And the concept is insane and it all comes together for this beautiful platform for the arcade or
the NES.
Gameplay.
So this is a platformer and it's a pretty old platformer at that. Okay, I'm just going to start with this. You're shooting fireballs and you're jumping and you can crouch. Very simple controls. Not the worst controls, but you also fall in this game. Like any game, there's gravity, but you get stuck in a falling animation. And that's the first thing I noticed about this game. I was trying to get used to everything, but I fell off a ledge and I didn't even fall. I meant to do it, but you don't like keep your momentum. You stop right when you hit the ledge and you go, you fall down and you cannot move. I don't know if that's what it was in the arcade version, but that's the gameplay. We can move on. Like, that's the only thing I gathered.
No one pulls no punches about the worst part of this game, because I literally was going to come in saying the only bad thing about this game, the only actually truly terrible thing about this game is the fall animation and how stuck you are and out of control. And wait,
that's
really,
the
really
only
bad.
Thing about this
Guys,
game.
So wait, so both of y'all, the very first thing you were wanting to talk about was the fall animation?
I wanted to wait and soapbox about how bad it was later, but Nolan got right to the point and I can't let him be alone in this camp because it was really, really bad. So I'm just hopping on his wagon.
It didn't even make my notes.
For
what?
Real?
Just, yeah, after I learned how bad it is, I just jump. I don't fall. I'm a masterful control of this bald beauty.
That's fair. Once you learn, you literally can like jump off things and it functions differently, which is so strange.
Yeah, you still fall slowly, but you can move left and right, which is nice. In this game, the only way to succeed is to go so slow and to just spam the attack button so that you don't die.
Noticeable. No, wait, no. Every game has taught you, every platformer that we've ever played ever has taught us a certain way of playing, and that's a not that you wouldn't even say that in a conversation. Oh yeah, I want to be able to have control of my character when they fall, because no one is dumb enough to make that the thing that happens in their game.
Sure, this is not the only game that does this.
Yes, it is.
No.
There's really nothing else to talk about. I said he shoots fireballs and he jumps.
There's so much more. Okay, let's give people a real picture that's not...
Oh, the upgrades, sure.
That's not Nolan bitter about this shirtless
platformer. I'm not the only one, I promise.
Okay, so you're running around, you're jumping, you're falling poorly, yes, but you're also interacting with the world with a bunch of upgrades. Those are unique and they're worth talking about. But even outside of that, your jump lets you actually like maneuver in midair and is reactive, which not all games have, and is super important here. The reactions are pretty real; like it feels pretty fluid for the most part. And I don't know; I just feel like you went straight to giving it a really, really bad rap.
And I'll continue. And I'm with you that it feels fluid as far as the controls go. Like I didn't have a huge problem, except that one huge thing that was so noticeable to me. Okay, you said there are upgrades and that you said that they're unique. Which one did you think is unique?
The ladder? What other games that one have is unique. You carried a ladder around with you in your pants?
I mean, where else is he going to put it? In his mustache?
Right, that's what I'm
saying.
He
doesn't have any other clothing to, to put it.
He clearly keeps all of this equipment in his pants because that's all he has. So that's a given. But like the ladder is a super unique thing and ends
it
up
is unique. I'll give it
being
to you.
A little strategic and can be something you can use in a couple of different ways. And it's kind of cool.
But I don't think the other items are. I mean, one lets you run faster. One lets you jump higher.
One grows wings.
One clears the enemies on the stage. And one is wings. None of those are new or unique. The ladder mechanic is fun, but I don't think that's like game altering or incredible. I mean, there is, so on these stages, there is some verticality to them and you are to use this ladder that allows you to get up higher and then you can jump off the ladder and collect these other items that you can use or just these huge K's. I laughed when I started watching and there's just dozens and dozens of the letter K everywhere. I think they're supposed to be like the Mario coins because that's pretty much all they function as. I think you get 50 of them and you get another life.
Yeah, something like that.
You collect them for points and for long-term like life gain.
But other than that, you just see thousands of K's all throughout this screen.
And let's ridiculous. Be real up front. Especially, well, regardless of what version you're playing, but especially if you're playing the NES version, collecting enough K's to get an extra life is completely pointless. Because two things have happened.
Yeah.
Either you've gotten so good at this game and its wonky mechanics and knowing where all the enemies are coming from that you can, like... You've achieved mastery of it, which it's not a hard enough game that's impossible, in which case you don't even need the extra life, or you find this game is pretty punishingly difficult, probably not as hard as the arcade, arguably, but very tough, and you're going to be dying enough and banking on the fact that you have to use continues that one extra life doesn't mean anything.
That's true, and I will say that I'm on the side that's saying that the game is frustratingly difficult. I don't think it's the first one you said. I didn't get good at it.
Yeah. I think that the arcade and NES version are both 8 or 9 stages, and they're, for the most part, all comparable except two of them. One is an underwater stage. I hope you got that far.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because Big Boy goes underwater and gets these flippers.
He turns into a mermaid.
He turns into a mermaid. He doesn't, but he gets these flippers and continues to shoot fireballs
underwater.
I mean, yeah. If it's the right kind of fire, that totally works.
It's Karnov. Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
it's Karnov. Yeah, listen. And then the other weird and different stage is the last stage, where you have to continually get these wing upgrades because you don't have a consistent platform under your feet, and you have to fly from place to place, defeating enemies and finding, hopefully, either already having in your inventory or finding a new set of wings to be able to get to the next area, because your wings are on a limited timer. You know,
don't
10,
you also have to have
seconds.
Like a ladder at one part too, and if you don't have a ladder, you can't progress.
Do you really?
That would be, I mean, I ran into
I
that. I might have done something wrong, but
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
one of the things that the NES game talks about as a feature, which is really funny and probably answers this question indirectly, is the fact that you can kill your character off. So if you've got both like controllers plugged into the controller, and this would make it terrible for actually playing two player, even if you're taking turns, because trolling, I don't know what they were thinking, but you can like hit, I think it's just hold down A and B on the second player's controller to make your character die, to basically restart the level.
That's good.
Which presumably would only be something you'd put in as a feature if theoretically you can get to a state where you can't progress any further without having like done something correctly.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the case. They might have done it for some other reason, but I assumed that was the case.
I mean, you can't just jump and die and kill yourself? For sure you can.
I mean, you probably could. Either way, that feature's there for whatever reason.
One of the saving graces of this game is that there are some checkpoints. There's a checkpoint system, and there's no like flag you run by or anything like that. But it's got various segments so that when you die, and you die a lot, that you don't have to start back at the very beginning necessarily.
The fact that you don't know is so frustrating. So many times I found myself going, please don't start back at the beginning. Please don't start back at the beginning. When I died, knowing I was going to restart somewhere.
That was the only reason that I got to continue as much as I did, because if I would have, I died so many times. But if I would have had to keep starting back at the beginning, I would have, my grace for that would have quickly dried up. But because of the checkpoint system, I got to start not too far behind. This is how I played this game in the arcade. I put in 50 coins at the beginning and started the game.
Nearly enough.
And I just die until I get to the checkpoint. And then I die until I get to the next checkpoint. And then I die until I finally beat that boss. That was just kind of rinse and repeat the whole week until I finally beat the game. But this is how it went. With the arcade version, I was not able to beat. It was so much more difficult and so much more ridiculous than the NES version. For many reasons, the NES version I actually was able to finally beat at the end of the week. But the arcade version, far from it.
So yeah, they were mentioning in Discord that this game was like 100% developed to be a coin eater. But they, you know, a lot of arcade games were like that.
Absolutely.
But they were like, no, this one was like ridiculously so, like just made straight for that. And I don't know. You'll have to tell me what the bread and butter gameplay on that one is, because we've mentioned a bunch of different things and like items and stuff. The NES, or at least my experience with the game, the majority of the time, the main mechanic is you're spamming fireballs. You get more than one. You start with one and you can upgrade to three. And in midair, walking forward, you're just spamming these fireballs, a wall of fireballs the whole time. So I didn't even really use items. So as the arcade the same, like you're just spamming the fireballs?
It's pretty similar. You know, you still get the fireballs. They still upgrade to the two shot, the three shot, everything else. Like that all functions the same, but one hit and you die.
Right. So most dead. Of the mechanics are the same, but in the NES version, you get two hits, right? Karnov gets hit, mm-hmm. he turns blue. Yeah. And the nice thing is you can grab one of those fire upgrades. You know, you just said you can upgrade from one to two yeah. to three. You can grab one of those and that can reset you back to your original state. In the arcade version, one hit and you die. Every single time, no question asked.
Yeah, not surprised.
A couple of the levels are also completely different. I think it's like level 2 and level 8, something along those lines.
4 and 8.
And then the final boss is different. So in the arcade version, because you've got a story, you're fighting this epic wizard. But in the NES version, you are in the... okay, this is one of the big questions that I've got for you guys. I mean, my game didn't mess up, but I fought some of the bosses multiple times as the end bosses on different stages. Do you understand? Did you understand? Did
Wait,
that
what?
Happen to you? Or like
say that again?
Yeah, I know that's kind of confusing. I fought like the dinosaur, the yeah. T-Rex, which mm-hmm. is a boss on stage 2, probably. Yeah. I fought him also as the boss on stage like 5 or stage 6. Same with a couple of the other bosses. They just repeat the same bosses. They only had like three bosses yeah. in the NES version.
Yeah, there's lots of similarity.
I fought the Green Lady a couple times too.
By Green Lady, the fish?
The centipede thing?
Yeah.
Wait, Lady Fish and Centipede? No, all
we're
of those
thinking of different
things. She's got a lady head, her hair, but she's totally
he's not thinking
of
the
bug.
Fish. The fish thing is different.
Either way, you fight, they rinse and repeat bosses.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, not
That's
good.
That's pathetic.
That's pathetic. But the last boss was unique, at least the three-headed dragon thing. But, I mean, there's no variety. This platformer is very bland on level design because you just are going, like, I didn't even feel like it was a platformer at times because there weren't a ton of gaps to jump over early in the game. You're just going to the right and trying to dodge these really frustrating enemies, and they respawn, of course. If you go too far to the left, they'll respawn. You have to hit them again.
Well, in some areas, they're just constant respawning, even if you're just standing there.
Thankfully, at least most, well, I can't say most of, but a lot of the projectiles you can destroy with your own weapon, which is great.
Yeah, if you've got the 3 fireball upgrade, because then you can just spam and you're good. But if you go back down to that 1 or you're stuck at the 1, it's difficult. And every time you die, you go back to 1.
And that's my big complaint with how NES handled the whole extra lives. You can't be as hard as the arcade, even with unlimited continues. But the fact that once you get off of that first life and you become blue, you know, you become the weaker version of yourself, that you miss out on an upgrade that would make the game significantly easier just to get back to your full health. And there's not a lot of those orbs around. There's a few, but not so many that it's like a big deal. And if you're playing a whole bunch of levels stuck on shooting 1 fireball instead of shooting 2 or 3 because you've messed up some of the upgrade sequence, you're going to have a significantly harder time doing it. And so I get that they needed to like give a little more grace there on how quickly you die because, you know, there's projectiles everywhere and it's a pretty hard game. But I don't like how they decided to do that.
Can we do one more thing here in gameplay? Because I don't think we've acknowledged it. And I think it's actually the worst thing, not the falling mechanic, because we addressed that at the very beginning.
Item gameplay. Selection.
I'll be
item
happy to
selection
bring it up again.
Is the most silly, abhorrent, ridiculous.
Lazy
who came up with
is what it is.
Lazy, bro, because you've got the NES controller and you've got other buttons. You can do something differently.
Yeah,
but instead, you select your items and you've got a bar at the bottom. By the way, half the items are selectable, the other half are not, and the ones that are not, you have no idea what they do.
They're
I don't know what that mask
right
does. I don't know what the ball does. I don't know what any of those things do. But you find out what the usable items do, but the only way to select those items is to utilize your D-pad, which is your mover.
So you move right, your cursor goes right.
You move Karnov to the left and your cursor goes to the left. Mm-hmm. So you're on at times these tiny platforms trying to select your ladder.
So lazy.
And you're falling off slowly, may I add.
Yeah.
And it just gets absolutely ridiculous.
It's pretty bad. Now, there's a hacky answer to this. And it's not actually even that hacky, but what I think is it should have been the implementation that they just force in the first place, even though it feels kind of game breaking. But that is, if you pause the game, you still have control of your item selection without moving your actual character. So you can pause the game, move over to the item you want, unpause it, activate that item. It works okay, but if you haven't realized that, or if, you know, you just are trying, like, in real time to not have to break up your gameplay, it's a really poor way of doing it, for sure.
Just press select.
Like, okay, but I didn't know that, and I think that does make it better. That actually reminds me kind of the early Mega Man item switching, or, like, ability switching.
There's some games that do that, absolutely, and I wish they'd only done that. Like, don't even make it move during the actual gameplay.
The fact that they left it in where it just moves even if you hit right and left, like, thinking from a programming standpoint, that was just, they didn't address it. They're just like, that's good enough. Like, it wasn't supposed to do that.
Aged. One of the main things I'm going to talk about here in the age section is the difference between the arcade and the NES version. I think there's a lot to compare and contrast here. In the Discord this week, we mentioned Discord a lot because there's a lot of discussion about the game of the week. I posted yesterday, I believe, two different images. One of the images is the character model of Karnov on the arcade, followed by the character model of Karnov on the NES. I know, two totally different consoles or systems, two totally different things that they're working with graphically, but the arcade is good, not great. The NES is disgusting.
I prefer the NES.
Dude,
really?
No, Why?
I don't think the arcade one looks good.
What?
It's got a kind of different, like, tone to it, I guess.
The NES one looks like the cover.
What?
Look at the NES. Are you looking at the same thing I am?
Yeah, I have it pulled
in-game
up in Discord
Karnov?
Right now.
I don't think I hated the NES one as much as Dustin did, but I thought the arcade one was actually kind of pretty. Like, he was a cool-looking model, the wings were neat, the fireballs were way cooler-looking. The animations on them were better. I don't know. Mad. I like the arcade in terms of its look a lot better.
I think that the arcade graphically was leagues above the NES version. I thought NES version just in general didn't look good.
Oh, it's super ugly, yeah.
So, like, foreground, background, character model, enemy. We talked about enemies briefly. That's one of the most frustrating things to me, is that there's thousands of them and that they all just relentlessly dive at you. And they're disgusting, gross, take a lot of damage. You can't tell what they are. They're all sorts of ridiculous beings. In the arcade version, you can tell a little bit more. There's a little bit more clarity there and probably a little bit less variety, which is nice. But in the NES version, there's so many different kinds of creatures coming at you and they're all ugly.
I don't prefer the NES graphics as a whole. I just think his character model isn't that bad for the NES. The pants are still super wrinkly, but yeah, I think both games are ugly.
Wait, like, you just pointed out the pants are wrinkly?
That's Nolan's standard of fashion, is somebody's got wrinkly pants.
They're baggy and you could tell from the NES.
Yeah.
That's not easy to pull off in the NES graphics.
Nolan, let me ask you about music. What did you think about the one song that is played?
Don't ask me about that.
It's literally one song.
There's one song the entire game that's being interrupted constantly by a beeping noise, you shooting fireballs, and you're shooting them like spamming as fast as you can. So the music is a joke. The graphics are also a joke, but the pants are there.
Because they show wrinkles.
Well, yeah, the wrinkly pants redeem the game.
All right.
The music's a joke.
I think the song is okay, like, in and of itself, but it's the only song in the game. So the first dozen times it's all right, but then it gets old. But then, like Nolan said, if you're shooting any kind of fireballs or doing any kind of getting hit or any kind of anything, if there's any other noise, it disrupts the music. And so, like, advise for what is playing out of the speaker. It's just really, really bad, really, really quickly. And then I would say the last thing, for me at least, that's aged poorly, well, everything was done poorly in the first place, but the hitboxes something that is going to be totally noticeable. Like, you have to jump earlier than you think you have to jump, or you're going to fall slowly in holes, or you have to, you know, dodge enemies quicker than what you have to dodge, because it's not a character. It's not, the hitbox is not around Karnov itself. It's like
in him,
20 pixels outside of, or like, it's just really, really bad.
And I quit trying to collect the K's because the not hurt box, but the just where you collect them
is the very center.
It's a
like nothing
tiny
else.
Tiny pixel in the center, right, that like you don't touch unless you touch the center of Karnov to it. And it's just, I was like, I'm touching this thing and it's not giving it to me. So I just quit getting them. The hitboxes are crazy. The whole game doesn't, I want to know if this was, is this based on another character or was this them trying to,
I think this was the start of a character that they then you like, okay, this game has a sequel and he, yeah, comes back as a character again in some of this
other Data East games.
Yeah.
It Karnov became like the character for Data East. It's their Sonic. It's their Mario. And he's right up there with all the rest. You know?
Yeah, like you can mention them in the same breath. They didn't care about the game, and it shows so hard.
No,
like,
they tried. I see them trying. I don't think it's just a let's slap something together. I think they tried. Yep. I just think that they performed pretty poorly.
They need a different career.
I think 1987 is just a reality. That sometimes we see the best games that came out from people that did exceptional things, and then we have a really high standard. I don't think in 1987 this was that bad of a game at all. I bet people really enjoyed it to some degree, but it certainly shows its age in a lot of ways.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not our game gets New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Is it data or data?
Yes.
It depends on the day of the week.
Or the data of the week?
Mm. Deep.
I'll begin by saying that Karnov is a bad game. And there's a lot of things that make it a bad game. I, unlike Nolan, think that they tried and think that they had some good ideas here. Again, it's 1987. That's early gaming. It was almost there. For the arcade, I think it was an okay setup, but far too difficult and far too punishing and too much of a coin eater that it was unfair. If they would have lightened that up some, I think it had some charm. I think it looked okay. I think it would have played like an arcade platformer back in the day and would have been a little bit of fun. But just the age on it today, the difficulty, some of the frustrations with the hitboxes and the slew of enemies that are coming after you. And it's not creative and unique enough of a title to receive a vote for me. So I definitely do not give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
I'll jump in next because it's pretty clear where Nolan is on this one.
He loves it.
Well, yeah, which means it probably doesn't matter at all what I think. That said, I can't disagree with you, Dustin, with what you just said, that on a lot of fronts, this is a bad game. But I also disagree that it could have been a very good game. And for some reason, and I'll agree that it's kind of inexplicable, but I had a lot of fun playing this game this week. I know it was really hard. I know we died a lot and it had moments that were very frustrating. But I feel like when you just give unlimited continues, you pretty much automatically address that. The challenge then isn't like, hey, you know, beat the whole game in one sitting. It's, hey, can you get through the next level that you haven't beaten yet? And it's sort of little steps of challenge at a time. And I had fun kind of collecting items and learning where they were and shooting fireballs out of my mouth, and it was ridiculous, and some of the things they did were really, really bad. But I had a lot of fun playing it. That said, I'm in Nolan's camp. That fall mechanic is the worst thing that's ever happened to me in a video game, and there's probably other things that I could rail about, but that's the one I chose to stick my stake in the ground on this one. And you can't have a character that you lose all control of when you fall in a game that has platforming as its main mechanic, where you can't shoot and move. And it's just, oh, it was so, so frustrating to me. And so even though it's a fun game in my mind, and I think they did some fun, unique things, albeit poorly, I'm going to not give it New Game Plus status only because of that stupid fall.
That's the one preventative.
That's literally the only reason. Outside of that, I think I would have given this game New Game Plus. Legitimately.
The fall mechanic.
Only because I had fun, even though it was flawed. I really did.
It's the clouds. All right, Nolan, end us off.
End me, more like it. I think, so one of the bosses is Jesus with a green lion.
Is that the fish?
No New Game Plus. The fall mechanic really truly was the laziest, just egregious thing. They didn't try. Who submitted this game?
Karnov is not New Game Plus certified. We had a few people write in this week. Hookshot was one of them, and he said, I can only imagine what my aunt or aunt, data, was thinking when she decided to buy this game for my birthday when I was 6 years old. I'm assuming she saw the dinosaurs on the cover and thought to herself, oh, he likes dinosaurs. I'll just ignore the shirtless man shooting fireballs and get him this.
Nice.
Thanks, Aunt Debbie. You always pick the best gifts. Yes, I'm the reason you got to play Karnov this week. This game is completely nuts. I'm sure you guys will mention the random enemies and bosses and how the controls and hitbox are sluggish and unfair. It probably doesn't deserve NGP status because of those issues, but I had way too much fun playing this week. Gathering items and using them was unique for a platformer back then. There was a ton of variety and branching paths to explore. What the hell? I think everyone should experience Karnov once in their life. New Game Plus certified.
Hookshot, I will never play Subnautica now.
Ooh, you just lost privileges.
Unless, if it's anything like the underwater level in Karnov, I'm not playing it.
I totally get, like, I had fun, and if you had multiplied that times nostalgia, I think I might have even overlooked fall damage, but I never had it as a kid. So
there's no
but
fall
I get
damage.
It. I get where he's coming from.
He means the fall mechanic.
Axe Black wrote in and said, I always liked this game because it was so out there, but yet controlled really well. I have the Famicom version as well, but never dove into it figuring it was the exact same port. This week, I found out that the Japanese version has cutscenes which expand on the story. I hope they eventually make another Data East arcade classic with this game on it. I never had the chance to play this one on CoinOp.
There's a Japanese version with cutscenes.
Yeah, and not unlimited continues.
Oh, man.
Wait. Oh, my.
Yeah, the Famicom one didn't get unlimited continues. It got like three continues, but they were like hidden.
No.
Oh,
it was
no.
Bad.
All right. Hook, Axe Black, thank you for writing in. You can always write in. Send us your commentary on the retro game of the week to ngppodcast@gmail.com. You can submit your thoughts on the commentary channel in Discord or through our website, ngppodcast.com. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of our show next week. For now, we're going to randomly select a new game, but we are going to do our randomizer a bit differently today. We received word a couple of weeks ago that Zion, one of our producers, was very sick, and he went to the doctor. They were able to quickly determine that Zion had an aggressive form of cancer, and it was in its later stages. And so a little over a week ago, Zion passed away. And so next episode, episode 176, we want to honor Zion's memory by dedicating the entire episode to one of our biggest fans. Over the years, he's submitted a lot of entries into our Patreon pool. And so for this randomizer, we've decided to gather each of his entries, and we're going to do a special randomization this week on his Patreon pool submissions. So the game that is selected now will be next week's episode and will be an entire episode dedicated to our good friend Zion. The year 2000 on PC. An action role-playing hack and slash computer video game developed by Blizzard. We played the first in the series. We are now going to be able to play the second.
Oh,
no way.
Next week's game and episode will be all about Diablo 2.
Oh,
Diablo
my goodness.
Diablo 2.
That's a big one.
That's a title.
That's a title and a half.
That's a title and another title on top of it.
I believe D2 is on. That's a title and another title on top of it. Is that what you want to say?
Yeah. It's a title and three quarters.
I believe Diablo 2 did make it on our bracket. So I believe it's in the tournament.
It is.
So hopefully it makes it to round two. But that is the game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days in honor of Zion. Please find a copy of Diablo 2. Play it with us this week.
While you're at it, why don't you join us in Discord this week? You can go to ngppodcast.com and click on join our Discord for free. And check out our website while you're there. Do all the tournament stuff. ngppodcast.com.
We also want to say a big thank you to all of our patrons who support this show on an ongoing basis, going above and beyond and giving to us financially as they're able. Special thanks to Kylie this week, who jumped on as a first-time patron.
Thanks,
Kylie. Welcome to the NGP family. We're so glad that you joined us. And of course, we always like to shout out our producers by name. And so big thanks to Michael, Bill, Alex, Dear Baby, and of course, Zion.
Always. Find us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast, YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. You can find us online at ngppodcast.com. Add a /tournament there to vote in our second round and third and fourth and all of the rest. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, please leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Diablo 2. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.